Rise and Climb with Anna, as I share stories of hope and healing through hardship to help you overcome the obstacles you face today. Whether you are a teen, single adult, parenting, or just simply learn best through stories, this podcast will keep you inspired to answer to the call to rise and climb to any occasion life throws at you. Enjoy. Hey everyone, I'm really excited for you guys to plug into this interview. I think the reason why is because my background is nutrition and health, and I think I take for granted the ability for me to be able to do a lot of things because I do have my health. And I see a lot of people struggle with life and not even able to ascertain what their passion or calling or purpose is in this life because they're so tired and bogged down. And so in this interview, we touch base with Dana, who really found her own health journey and has turned it into a career from a CPA. So with no further ado, please enjoy and use this to help you be able to have the energy to rise and climb. Hello, everybody. Today we are live here with Dana Dilling, not on like a Zoom call. She's in my podcast studio.
Hey.
And she is a clinical nutritionist and CPA. And if you're wondering how those go together, so is Dana. But she's going to basically share her story about the rise to step into her calling and realizing that her former occupation wasn't the place for her. And she's right now in the transition of really, you're still in the CPA world, but really wanting to step into the clinical nutrition world. Mm-hmm. And you're doing it, you're doing both, mm-hmm. but there's tensions with that. So she's going to share her story and then really of what she's doing and then bring in some stories of how you're impacting lives in your calling. Mm-hmm. So welcome, Dana. Just maybe take a minute to introduce yourself.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. It's fun to get together and chat about it. So my name's Dana and I went to school for accounting. I went to UW Green Bay and my degree's in accounting. I had a double major in accounting and business management.
And why accounting?
Really, honestly, I went to school not knowing what I was going to do, but mm-hmm. I knew I was good at math. And then I took intro accounting and realized I was good at it. So I just kept doing it.
So you're good at it.
Yeah. Okay. And I mean, I did like it. I liked the coursework and all those kinds of things. I'm a CPA, a certified public accountant. For my entire CPA career, I've worked on taxes, which probably sounds really boring to everybody, but it's not that bad, I swear. Not as cool as what I'm going to do, but it's not that bad. But so I have done the CPA thing for a while, and it was about 3 years ago now that I went to my husband and I felt really strongly about like, hey, like I don't really think that this career, you know, is working out. I had worked at a larger firm in this area, and then I had decided that, you know, I think I needed a little change of pace and I wanted to go to a smaller firm. And then I had been there for a little while and just kind of realized after a few months that this career is just not what I should be doing. I should be doing, you know, something else. And I knew what that something else was. And it, you know, it's clinical nutrition. I know people who do it and do the muscle testing technique that I do that we'll circle back on and talk later. Oh, I said circle back, gross.
Well, hold on. Your husband is also a CPA, which I find hilarious.
Yes. It's how we met. Actually, because we both worked at the same firm. So yeah.
Typically, you know, two accountants, it seems like it would be a very dry relationship, but it's not, right?
No, it's, you know, the society has a bad view of accountants. They're actually kind of fun and like to, I don't know, make light of situations and just have some fun at work because otherwise then it does end up being really dry.
Yeah. So it's just, there's different personalities behind accountants. Don't put them in a box, division box. Okay. So I wanted to point that out because I think that, you know, that is interesting and fun. And then another thing, when did you start getting interested about health?
Well, I actually, when I went to college, is probably kind of when it started. It wasn't then what it is today, but it started back then. Because I didn't want to gain the freshman 15. It started literally because of that. And I basically was just focused on kind of like working out then. And that was, you know, running for, I don't know, 20 or 30 minutes a day, and then eating healthy food, which in hindsight at that time, it was not healthy food because it was low fat yogurt and wheat bread. So like just good intentions, just really kind of poorly executed, but A for effort there.
It was the intro.
Yeah, that was the intro there. And then just like a lot of women, I got pregnant, and then what I knew about health and things that I started investigating just like really, really took off. And this whole holistic health thing kind of came into its being then. So that was, about 7 years ago now that that really took off. So I'm kind of been this, you know, like holistic or crunchy, if you know that term, mom for quite a while, that, you know, you have your stepping stones with that. So that started kind of smaller. It started with some food things and then to more food things and then to the shampoo I use and the cleaning products and escalated into all of the things that I do today. But that's kind of, that's the background how that started. Okay. It's kind of always been there sort of.
Yeah. I think motherhood is a really big game changer for people.
It is. It's
because it doesn't just affect you. It affects who you have to deal with.
Right. Right.
On a daily basis. So now my husband is definitely supportive, but he's not the same as me. So your same husband, same girl. Yeah. Girl. A lot of women, I think, care about certain things that their husbands don't understand.
Right. We're, I mean, as women and as moms, we are largely, and I'm not cutting down any dads who are like on board with this stuff, but we are largely the gatekeepers of health in our household. And we take that responsibility really seriously. And men just aren't driven. They're just not wired to be exactly like that. You know, they're more the, you know, the providers that go out and conquer. And that's really great. But then when you tell them that you're going to start buying organic food or that we're going to do, you know, X, Y, and Z different, or that you shouldn't spray the lawn anymore, you know, that really kind of disrupts that, especially in today's society, right? Because God forbid you don't have a pretty green lawn, you know?
Yes, those dandelions.
I know, those dandelions aren't pretty.
It's funny how those little things can become marital tension.
They definitely do.
Yep. So you started being this healthy person, leading the family in health.
Yep.
Then you realize you're passionate about it.
Right.
That's kind of how it happened.
It is. Okay. Yeah. I have a really deep passion for holistic health and just health in general and really investing in myself and my family and in anyone's health now versus having to, you know, pay the price later. Like I tell people a lot of the times if they are struggling with having to, you know, pay more for something now, that I tell them like, hey, you're going to pay that money no matter what. It's whether you want to invest in your health now or whether you want to pay medical bills later or take too much time to go to medical appointments later. Exactly. Like you will pay it. It just depends on when and how.
Yeah. And pay it in pain or lifestyle, not being able to do what you want. Absolutely. Exactly. So, all right. So then now let's go back to where you were at with the career change and then how that started for you.
Yeah. So it was about 3 years ago that I went to my husband and said, you know, I don't think the career, the accounting career is really working out. And I want to do the clinical nutrition route. And, you know, like we said before, he's an accountant. So he also has a lot of that left brain analytical planning, you know, type of stuff going on in his brain and very much more. I mean, I have that too, but much more so than me. So when I first went to him with this, like it was kind of a spot of tension for us because in his head, it was, okay, you know, well, we're supposed to be accountants and that means, you know, this is what we do each year and this is the amount of time, you know, we put into work at these times of years and this time of the year. And, you know, we make this much money every year. So it means we save this much every year because we're going to retire at this age. And that means we can spend this much in retire. You know, he's planning all that stuff. And I'm super grateful for that because it's amazing. Like the stuff that he does and watching out for us and stuff like that. But what I was coming in and doing then was just throwing a wrench in the plan and everything. And my husband is a little older than me too. Yeah. So, you know, he's, you know, just a little, being a little further in life, that's maybe a little scarier for him than what it is for me.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it is. Yeah. We're in a little different life stages there. And so, yeah, so that's been something that we've been working on in our marriage over the last, you know, couple of years, because my perception of what I can just, you know, go do and his is, you know, a little bit different. So we've had to have conversations and we've had to come together on, okay, well, what's the plan of how this is going to happen? How's this, you know, transition going to happen? How fast, how slow? And things like that.
So what advice do you have to someone who is in a similar situation? It could be anything, but yeah. We were talking before we started recording where when you're going in the flow with somebody in mm-hmm. your marriage, there's no fighting. Yeah. When somebody's ready to deviate from what the other person thought they signed up for, that's when it gets hard.
Right.
So what do you have to say to that of what's helped you navigate it the most?
Yeah. So one thing that I'll start by saying, and my husband actually remembers this from marriage counseling, which is very impressive to me, but the pastor who did our counseling said that women go into marriage thinking men will change along with them, and men go into marriage thinking women will just stay the same. And yeah. Wow, has that ever played out like in our marriage? Yeah. I am totally different. He's exactly the same. Right.
Yeah.
So there's that. But when you're changing, when you're doing something new, when you are following like your intuition, what you are called to just really do in this mm-hmm. life, like it's going to get uncomfortable mm-hmm. and you need to get used to it being uncomfortable, or you just need to do the thing that you're doing scared, even if you're, mm-hmm. you know, scared to do it, and just go along with it anyway. And like, I have so much prayer into this mm-hmm. and trusting God to work in my heart and work in my husband's heart and mm-hmm. just to have the pieces come together, because I don't see all the steps ahead of me. I know what yeah. the end goal is and I'm walking toward that, but I don't know what all the steps are. And so mm-hmm. I've really had to trust that they will be laid out for me. But yeah, if you're dealing with that in your marriage, whether it's a career change or whether it's, you know, public school versus homeschool or moving or not moving, whatever it is, you got to get uncomfortable, and you just mm-hmm. have to sit down and have those conversations as hard as it is. And that's been really, it's been really difficult for mm-hmm. me, because I'm a words of affirmation person. So mm-hmm. then when we're talking and I'm maybe not getting all the warm fuzzies about what I'm doing, like, you know, that's really hard for me. So mm-hmm. I've really had to just, you know, prepare myself for, you know, what I want to say and, you know, think through it and pray before every one of these big conversations that I've had that I will just have the right things to say and that he'll be open to listening. And whenever I do that, it goes a lot better.
And I think it's also a good time to remind us that our spouses aren't our God.
You're right.
And ultimately we can be wired to receive love certain ways, but ultimately it comes down to, we have to receive it from the Lord first right. and have our affirmation in the Lord first, so that the spouse is a bonus,
mm-hmm, right?
But not the clinch point.
Right.
And then I also know about you that it's just been a lot of time. You've mm-hmm. given things time.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been 3 years, right? Mm-hmm. Since I first kind of said, hey, I want to do this. Mm-hmm. And I've done coursework, and there are a number of seminars and training days that I have done, you know, putting into, you know, what I've done, a lot of time, obviously mm-hmm. a financial investment too. And, I mean, it was a little more than a year ago where I first actually opened like the practice in the building yeah. that I'm in. So I've been there for a little while, but it took time to mm-hmm. be able to do that. Cause again, remember I'm a CPA. So like my training is not in the nutrition, the homeopathy, the herbs, the muscle type. I have none of that except for that I care about it. Yep. That's what I have on my side, is that I care about it. And so to do that course or to put all that time in
yeah.
is a lot. And I've been working a CPA job this entire time while I've been doing all that learning.
And you have two little kids.
And I have two little kids. Yep. I have a 6 and almost 5-year-old.
Yeah. So I think that's such an important role, is that you know, some people think, who am I to be called into this sphere? Yeah. You know, I don't know anything. How can I learn it? And all those are just lies.
Right.
Like if a they CPA are. Can learn nutrition stuff.
Exactly.
And then the other thing is that people don't necessarily know, but I had a front row scene, is you really transitioned into it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't quit my job, start right. this. It was really working with the marginal time that you had.
Right. Right. And fortunately the CPA jobs that I've had have also been flexible mm-hmm. to allow me to have, you know, a Fridays off, or just to have like a reduced schedule during mm-hmm. like that tax time when it can be really busy. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the time, it's, you know, like I said, it's been a transition. I took a lot of time to just stop and learn even while I was still working. And I've done both the CPA thing and the clinical nutrition thing both at the same time. So not just cutting off one day and jumping ship and doing the new thing, you know, right away, as soon as I, you know, had the training in that I needed, I've taken the time to just kind of somewhat slowly do it too.
So this is something you're passionate about and it's a calling. So that, but I know that it's been a lot of sacrifice. Can you speak to the tension between, a lot of times I'm sure you felt like sacrificing, but I'm sure there's times you didn't feel like sacrificing. Can you speak to that?
Yeah. You know, I did coursework like through a tax season and I've done things, you know, at night when maybe I wanted to be outside and it was summer. Honestly, you guys, I love summer. Like I just, I live and breathe summer. And the thought of like a summer night being taken away from me because I'm going to do, you know, something else just like terrifies me because I love it so much.
And we live in Wisconsin.
And we live in Wisconsin. So it's like really important to take advantage of all your summer nights.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, ultimately I'm so passionate about what I do that. Yeah. Some of that is just like your own fear that you're thinking about at the beginning of what you're doing something, because once I got into things and then it was, oh, a night here or there was taken away, or, oh, I really just want to, you know, relax after a full day of my CPA job, but no, I'm going to go do, you know, a talk about homeopathy or a holistic living or something like that tonight. And maybe I admit that I didn't fully want to go do that because I wanted to relax. But once you actually get there, and you actually do it, like you want to do it and you don't want to step away from it. And you have countless things to say then when you actually give me a microphone.
Yeah.
But, but when you're really passionate about it though, you're sometimes those sacrifices look like a big hurdle, but once you actually start doing it, it's really not as bad as what you think it is. Like that's just your brain painting that bad picture to try to make you not do the thing, because your brain wants you to stay comfortable. Okay. It's comfortable and cushy wherever you're at right now, I bet. And stepping out into, you know, uncomfortableness, that's the hard part. And your body and your brain, it's going to resist doing that. And you just have to push back against it and tell it to shut up because you're going to do it anyway.
Yeah, definitely agree. And I think about that once I start just climbing and I'm in the climb, it's more of now I'm in it. I have buy-in.
Yeah.
But until
you're skin
then,
in the game.
Yeah. You're like, oh, you're afraid of the sore muscles. Mm-hmm. But once you're there, you're like, oh, muscles aren't so bad.
Yeah. It's not as bad as you think.
That's how it was for motherhood for me. The fear of it was much worse than the actual grind of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some days, you know?
Yeah.
So So there's somebody maybe thinking, gosh, I don't have anything like Dana does. I just don't even think of stuff. So that's probably a sign that they aren't being called right now to something different, bigger. But how did you get called into specifically clinical nutrition and what you do with muscle testing? Can you explain that story?
Yeah. This all actually kind of started with my second pregnancy. I was having some digestive issues and basically I called on two friends of mine who I did not know that they did this. They're chiropractors over in the Twin Cities. And I contacted them and basically was just like, I need something, like I need something and I need it now. And they sent me three products and I was like miraculously better, like leaps and bounds better within like 2 days. And so it kind of turned into like, okay, what is this magic that you gave me? Like what is in this and you, what are you doing? And I, made some trips to visit them. Cause I mean, they're friends of mine from childhood and, kind of learned a little bit about what they did. And then they know another practitioner who's, lives only a couple hours away from here. And she's really become my mentor and has done the vast majority of like teaching me and training me and stuff like that. But that's how I first got exposed to this and figuring out, you know, what it was. And then it was just seeing what they were doing and seeing the clinical results that they were doing and how they were helping people from, you know, balancing someone's hormones to helping someone with fertility to helping autistic children, you know, whatever it is, being able to use this technique to just be able to really just serve on and love the public was just really amazing. And like I said, I've had a heart for health definitely ever since I went to college. It just looked different then than what it does now. But I've always wanted that. That's just been something that must have been ingrained in me. Definitely not in high school because I didn't think twice about eating two pieces of chocolate cake right before bed back then. But once I went to college, I started to actually care.
And that just to me points out the importance of stepping up to your calling, because you walking in your calling is going to inspire somebody else. You caught that vision from them. If they had, and if they've been given into their fears, you might not be where you're at today.
Right. Yeah. And they've been, and a lot of people too, they've been super encouraging and just love what I'm doing. And it's always fun to like watch people do the really awesome things.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so like, I've had a lot of support that way too. And, but yeah, those couple of people are what led me to, you know what I'm doing now, or who first got me introduced mm-hmm. to it, I should say. And that's kind of when I realized like, yeah, like this is the thing, like this speaks to me, like yeah. this is what it is. This is what I want to do.
And it was just one step to the other. So it was. If somebody's wondering out there, how do I know? You will know.
You'll know.
And until, if you don't know, then
that's,
you know.
That's not yeah. the thing. Then that's not the thing. If you can't stop thinking about it, that's the thing.
Yeah. Yep, exactly. And I'm kind of in this season right now where we're doing some different stuff, gardening and all that. And we've been trying to get into some homesteading stuff. There's some things that I just could care less about learning about. And then there's another thing that there's a book that I can't stop listening to.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's
the thing.
More of the thing that mm-hmm. I'm interested yeah,
at
in.
At least
right
for
now.
Now.
Yeah, exactly. That's my next stepping stone.
Yeah.
All right. So can you explain to people then what you've learned how to do?
Yeah. So clinical nutritionist is my title. I'm certified through the Nutritional Therapy Association as a nutritional therapy practitioner. Nutrition is a piece of what I do. So people will, you know, ask me about food and mm-hmm. stuff like that. And I definitely advise on that. But the biggest thing that I do is the muscle testing technique that I use. So basically, you know, we're not doing this on video, so I'm going to do my best to explain to the audience what this looks like. But basically, when you come into my office, you lie on a table, like kind of how you would with a chiropractor. You mm-hmm. lie on your back and you put your arm up straight in the air, and I have you lock it, which pretty much just means you're keeping it straight. And then all I'm really doing is pushing on your arm. So I'm seeing if it's strong or if it's weak. Mm-hmm. Right. And so certain things will make your arm strong and locked, and certain things will make your arm weaker or unlocked.
Mm-hmm.
And so as I'm pushing in the arm, I have different test kits, different supplements, various things that I kind of just wave in front of the body as mm-hmm. I'm doing this, because I'm looking to see what's the arm doing. Because I care about, well, what makes the arm lock, and then mm-hmm. what makes it unlock? Or if something makes it unlock, well, then I care about, well, what makes it lock? And I'm
when
just
you
having
say
this
something.
Yeah.
You mean vitamins, minerals.
Vitamins, minerals. It can even be, I have things that are like disruptor vials. Mm-hmm. So like I, to be clear with everybody, I am not a doctor. I can't cure, treat, diagnose mm-hmm. any of those types of things. But I'm looking for, maybe is there like a viral energy in the body? Is that what's causing the problem on why we can't detox? Is there a bacterial energy in the body? Is that why this kid keeps getting ear infections? Mm-hmm. Is there a parasitic energy in the body? Do we need to do a parasite protocol and clean this all out so that your migraines go away? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, we never know how things are going to all be connected to each other.
Mm-hmm.
But what the muscle testing does, it is it helps me pinpoint exactly what's going on in the body so that we can break down those barriers. And the body, it's really smart too. Really what I'm doing with the muscle testing is basically just having a conversation with people's nervous systems, because your nervous system controls everything.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can just, you know, basically talk to that through the muscle testing, you can get a whole lot of information, and mm-hmm. you can get it quickly and you can get it accurately. And I also tell people too that, you know, remember when you're trying to get better, when you're trying to heal your body and restore your body to how it's supposed to work, that your body is made up of layers and your body is smart. And even through the muscle testing, your body will show the layer that it wants to first. So maybe you need to clear out those parasites before you can even start to work on your hormonal problems, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or sometimes you know you have hormonal problems, and just doing a parasite cleanse just kind of frees them up, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because let's just face it, we're all toxic in yeah. one way or another, whether it's from air or food or things in our environment. Like, we all have some toxicity in our life, and the minimum amount we get would be best, because then it just allows our body to function the way it's just supposed to.
So I grew up going to a chiropractor that did muscle testing.
Yeah.
So it's so weird to me, but I trust it, because
yeah.
you know, I've seen it work. You know, mm-hmm. he's like, oh, you need vitamin C this much, you know, and he could tell that.
Yep.
And, but it feels very quacky.
Yeah.
And I know that you know.
Yeah, it's woo woo.
Yeah. So can you explain to the person who is wondering, what the heck, talk to my nervous system, this sounds weird.
Yeah. So first of all, okay, we all know we have a nervous system, right, in our body. And so first of all, if you can just think of, if instead of your nervous system stopping at your skin, if it just extended out into space, when you're muscle testing kind of that space just around your body, like that's just what we're really talking to right there. Mm-hmm. It's your nervous system that has just kind of extended out. So, and that kind of seems a little bit weird. I know maybe a little still too woo for some people listening. And so the other example I give, if you just take our bodies out of it for a minute, think about the sun. Okay. Mm-hmm. The sun's, you know, nervous system is so big and it's so dense that we feel the heat of it on Earth. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's real. That's basically what our bodies are doing. It's the same thing. We're just, you know, vibrating so densely that we're shooting off these rays of sunshine mm-hmm. is really kind of what's happening.
Yeah.
And so your nervous system, we can just communicate with that to see, you know, exactly what your body needs yep. and help it get restored.
And how you interpret the nervous system mm-hmm. is through the arm. It's yep. the muscles.
Yep.
So that's why it's the muscle testing, because mm-hmm. the muscles, and if they're weak or mm-hmm. if they're strong, they'll yeah. indicate whether that's yeah. something it needs.
It's really kind of like a yes, no conversation, right? Because mm-hmm. it's a lock or it's an unlock. It's a mm-hmm. strong arm or it's a weak arm. Mm-hmm. And as you know, practitioner, I mean, you could outdo me, right? Mm-hmm. And you could have a stronger arm, but like, then we're not being true to, you know, the actual, you know, the muscle mm-hmm. test, right? So part of my job is to coach people on how to, you know, have their arm too. Most people yep. don't struggle with it or anything, but you know, your arm will be strong or it'll be weak, whether you like it or not, because mm-hmm. it's just what's being introduced mm-hmm. to your body's environment.
So to put some skin on this,
yeah.
can you share with people what this looks like, how you've helped people?
Yeah.
So because success. My guess is if you haven't seen success, mm-hmm. it would be quacky.
It would be, you. Right, but it works.
You wouldn't be here.
Right.
I mean, it worked on you,
mm-hmm.
and that's what got you here. It's worked on a lot of people.
Yep.
So share some of the stories that stick out of how you help people.
Yeah, yeah. I have many of them. I have a guy who was coming to see me for a while. His chief complaint was migraines and also some digestive things, but some migraines. And I got him going on a protocol, and pretty much right away, I think he said he was getting about a migraine a week or so. And pretty much right away that dropped down to maybe like every other week or one or two a month.
Mm-hmm.
And then a short time after that, we tweaked his protocol a little bit, and it's been several months since he's even had a migraine, which is pretty significant because those really take people out of commission,
oh,
you know?
Yeah. Now, do you remember what came up for him? Like what was his cause? What did you have to do with him?
Part of it was a supplement that I just know he needed that has a lot of feverfew and a lot of butterbur in it, because those are really great herbs just for people who have migraines.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it has been breaking down some barriers just with his digestive mm-hmm. system, right? Like digestion is key. Like if you're in the nutrition world at all, you know that. Like that's your immune system. It's in your gut. It's gotta be fully functioning. Mm-hmm. If your gut's off, then a lot of other things in your body mm-hmm. are gonna be off. And that can be causing migraines too, even mm-hmm. though it doesn't seem like that. It seems like your digestive system should just be for food, but it's not. Your yeah. body is very intricately connected to each yeah. other. So that was kind of like his thing.
Yeah.
I have another mom who came in. She was actually my very, very first client, and she's still with me too.
Cool.
And she was having really bad gallbladder pain, really bad gallbladder attacks. She saw me one time and did not have problems. After
wow.
that, it was just a matter of giving her gallbladder some support.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what it needed. And then, you know, a couple other foundational things.
Mm-hmm.
She did great until that supplement that has just been really magic for her went on back order. Like
no.
a lot of things have done. So then we kind of had to switch things up, and
yeah.
she still did all right, but not, you know, quite as great.
Mm-hmm.
And then fortunately that one came back, and so she was able to get back on that and then was doing, you know, pretty well. She also recently did a parasite cleanse and definitely noticed after that she's like, definitely anything going on with my gallbladder has been gone.
So, which brings us to the onion analogy.
Yeah.
Can you explain that with people? And
yeah. So think of your body as an onion. Okay. So you are only going to peel one layer back at a time. Okay. And so that first layer, you know, your chief complaint, you know, might be that your hormones are off, and you know, you just know that in your life. And your first layer might be that we need to fix your digestion, because maybe you're not pooping enough
mm-hmm.
and that's a problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe you're not drinking enough water and that's a problem. So we get past that layer, and okay, maybe we see a little bit of budge in your hormones. Maybe we don't see a lot, but maybe we see some.
Mm-hmm.
So then what's the next layer? So then the next layer, maybe, maybe that's parasites and we have to mm-hmm. clear those out. And then we move past that. And then finally, now we're ready for your liver to finally be able to detoxify and get rid of all of those excess hormones that are just hanging on into it. And now finally your hormones have balanced themselves, mm-hmm. right? So it would seem unlikely that we would have to look at, you know, digestion, or that we would have to look at parasites or anything else. It seems like, well, don't you just have something to balance hormones? And mm-hmm. sometimes it is that easy, but sometimes it's a matter of breaking down some barriers and yep. moving those toxins out of the way.
So you've spoken about parasites a few times. I think yeah. some people might be curious about that.
Yeah.
How do people get parasites?
Well, there's a really nifty test that you can do that I learned at a parasite event or a conference that I went to. And mm-hmm. you take your two fingers and you put them up to your neck to get your pulse. And if you have a pulse, you have parasites. That's how you know you have them. Okay, so basically everybody has them.
Yes.
Okay, we just do.
Well, that is a nifty test.
It is. It's a very nifty, cheap at-home test anyone can do. If you have a pulse, you have parasites. We get them from our food. They're hanging out in our food. They're microscopic, right? You're not going to pull out a big long worm from your food. I mean, maybe that's happened like somewhere, but yeah. probably not really here in the US. Mm-hmm. They're in our food. They are, because, you know, think about it. Think about the food that you're eating. Think about animals that are, you know, eating grass, or even if they're, you know, fed feed or, you know, whatever it is, like there's going to be parasites in that. So then the animals are eating the parasites. So then it's going to be in the meat that you're getting, mm-hmm. just that we can't see it. It's in the water that we're drinking. It's in the air. You can yep. get it if you have pets. It's yep. they're all over the place. Mm-hmm. The big issue with parasites is it a problem? Yep. Is it a problem in your body? Because we're not going to get rid of all of them. It's just, is it a problem? Do yep. we need to cleanse some of them out? Are they the thing that's in the way of you getting better?
Yeah. And my guess is lifestyle probably perpetuates whether these are a problem or not.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Because if you're eating, like, I mean, pork itself tends to be a little dirtier of mm-hmm. a meat in general, but definitely then if you're eating like conventional pork, like probably definitely riddled with parasites. Yeah. I hate to say that, but it's kind of true. Or, you know, just the uncleaner animals are definitely going to be riddled more with them. Even yeah. the best, you know, grass fed, everything, you know, beef, like mm-hmm. you're still going to run into it. But
so should I be vegetarian?
No, I don't actually recommend vegetarian or vegan. Generally speaking, right? Like I get if one day a week, you know, you want to be a vegetarian, or if you're going to do a vegan cleanse for like, you know, a little while and stuff mm-hmm. like that. But I actually don't recommend that pretty much ever, just because first of all, to do vegan correctly is extremely difficult. Like there's probably a handful of people in this country who could even do it with the matching of the proteins and, you know, cause it's not mm-hmm. as easy as just eating some beans and whatever. Mm-hmm. And then on the vegetarian side, I mean, I would just be curious to know like why people want to do that. Right. Cause sometimes mm-hmm. it has to do with animal cruelty and mm-hmm. I totally get that. But then on the flip side, are you okay with eating animal products if the animals have been treated properly and mm-hmm. killed in a, you know, in a not such gruesome way as yep. Some of the feedlots and stuff. But just, you know, from an energetic standpoint, like those kinds of diets don't tend to actually really even agree with the body. Mm-hmm. I know that, you know, people go on fads and stuff like that with them. And, you know, I like I said, I get that, you know, maybe that can be helpful for a short period mm-hmm. of time, but long-term, we need animals. We absolutely need animals and we need meat in our bodies because plants are really awesome and they're medicinal and they give us all of our nutrients and things like that. But our animals, like that's building, mm-hmm. that builds our muscles and that builds, you know, who we are yep. and our tissues and all of those things. And we need them.
And clean sources.
Clean sources, yeah. clean sources, grass-fed, grass-finished, pasture-raised, all yeah. of those things, as much as you possibly can.
No antibiotics.
Right.
Or limited. Yeah, I think sometimes, well, that's what I say, people go off of meat and they feel great because they went off of really crappy meat.
Probably.
I've also heard the saying is, be vegetarian, just supplement with animal protein 5 to 6 times a day.
Exactly.
So yep. the idea is you want to be plant-based and eat right. lots of plants, lots of yes. fruits, lots of vegetables, except that meat protein serves
it's
a lot
important.
Of people.
It is.
So what about gluten and dairy?
Oh yeah. You know, those are tough for people.
Gluten, and why?
Well, first of all, gluten and dairy, I mean, that's just really prevalent in everything, mm-hmm. right? It's, I mean, how many people besides, you know, us go a day without eating bread of some kind? Mm-hmm. And so, Yeah, it's that one can just be tricky because it's just been so ingrained into our lives.
Pun intended.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I didn't even catch that. But yeah, it's just been worked really into our lives and into our culture. So it's really hard to step away from those kinds of things because they're also ingredients in a whole lot of things. But what I would say is that gluten definitely, and I'll talk about these two things separately, but gluten definitely in our country, that's just a no. Like the vast, vast majority of it is GMO. Maybe here and there, if you can get something, you know, sprouted, and if it's wheat, that's not that bad of an idea, but it's inflammatory to our bodies. It's just causing inflammation, which is a big cause of disease. I would say that's something to really avoid. And on top of that, I would say, yeah, if you need your gluten-free, you know, bread, you know, here and there and stuff like that, you know, that's fine. But focus on foods that wouldn't otherwise have gluten. Okay. Mm-hmm. So instead of the toast in the morning, not you, like you're having eggs and avocado or, you know, something like that, just focus on things that wouldn't otherwise have gluten. On the dairy side of it, I have some mixed feelings about it. So the pasteurized dairy, like the regular dairy that we think about, I kind of feel like we need to kind of step away and really get rid of that. First of all, from the organic standpoint, but then also from the pasteurized standpoint, because dairy has enzymes in it. Raw dairy has enzymes in it that help us break down the lactose that's in it, right? Everybody knows what the lactose is, but that raw dairy has enzymes to help us break down the lactose, to help it make it easier to digest. So the reason that a lot of people have a problem with dairy is because when you pasteurize it, when you go through that heating process, you're getting rid of that enzyme. And so then it's harder to digest. And then it's just harder on your body in general. And so if you're going to do, if you're going to do dairy, find your farmer who has raw milk that they'll let you buy, or you can buy raw cheese in the store. That's not illegal, apparently. It's a little more expensive, but it definitely is worth it. But it comes with those enzymes that you need. I wouldn't say we need to have tons and tons of dairy, like maybe the food industry thinks that we do, but I have some of it in my life. I have a limited amount because I, you know, it's not necessarily a staple that we need to have, but if you're going to have it, choose raw as much as you can.
Yeah. Great. And there's so much more we could go into that. That would probably be a whole nother interview about what is GMO? Yeah. What about the pesticides and herbicides? Why that causes issues? But that's a broad, I think a great explanation of that. So thank you. Appreciate that. Hope my husband's listening.
Mine too.
Yeah. No, he's overall understands that. And actually he's planting his own non-GMO heirloom wheat.
Oh,
you know, fancy. We're trying to figure out the no tillage thing. So we're trying to do things that are meat in the middle with us.
Yeah. And that's great.
Yeah. And we haven't even touched on corn, which is the other crop he's trying to grow. So,
well, organic, like really good, like corn on the cob, like, you know, we have that sometimes too. And I kind of feel like, as you know, as long as it's just not the really bad stuff, like if you're focusing on the good quality stuff, that's okay to have.
The problem is the conventional stuff is sprayed with pesticides, herbicides. So a lot of times your body's just responding to that.
Yes. It's so, not the food. It's what the food's been sprayed with is what your body doesn't like.
Yeah. So that is why organic is key. But then even not just organic, locally sourced organic.
Locally, yeah.
The organic industry, and that can be really murky water too.
Right. So. Yeah. 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 It can. We can do a whole other podcast on that because sometimes when these companies get bigger, they get bought out. Yeah. Like you don't know maybe what they're really doing behind the scenes. So if you can know your local farmer, if you can shop local at the smaller stores and stuff, that'll be on your side too.
Okay. So two more questions. Yeah. One is, if somebody is wanting to step into the health arena, what's one way that they can. The other is, how can people get in touch with you? And I can link the your link in the show notes.
Yeah. If you're wanting to make lifestyle changes just to get healthier or, you know, be more in the holistic realm, the thing that I tell people the most is you either need to start small or you need to start with one thing. When I started this, like, people can look at me today and see everything that I'm doing, but I did not become this overnight. I started with thinking that, okay, well, I know about gluten. I wasn't even on organic food yet. Okay. And I started with gluten. I realized that, okay, gluten's not a good thing. I'm going to cut that out. I did that for like 5 months or something, and then realized, okay, I think I'm going to cut dairy out for a while too. And I did that for a couple more months, and then I reintroduced those foods, and then I felt terrible. So then I realized that, okay, you know, I'm on the right, I'm on the right track. And then it kind of went from there. For me personally, what it went to was pretty much like produce, like the leafy greens and the berries and the things like that, being like, okay, these I'm going to do organic now. And then it turned into, okay, that, and now eggs. And then I'm pretty sure, at least in my progression, it was shampoo, conditioner, cleaning supplies, body wash, those kinds of things. And then I got to meat, because meat's a little pricier when you go organic. So that one I kind of did last. And then it was supplements, homeopathy, those types of things. And then it was also, okay, well, now we shouldn't spray our lawn, and, you know, all those things. So that, you know, has escalated into who I am today, but it's also been, well, I've been at this for a solid, like really hard at this for a solid 7 years too. So don't beat yourself up that you can't do it overnight. Don't even try to do it overnight, because you're going to get frustrated with yourself that you're failing and you're not. Just pick the one thing and start going with that. And the other real quick thing I'll say about that is sometimes the budget thing with going organic really can get people. And so what I'll have people start out with, at least in terms of food, is, okay, you know, Google what the Dirty Dozen is. You know, the Environmental Working Group puts that out every year. Normally it's, you know, strawberry, spinach, things like that, but it's the 12 dirtiest product or produce items that are out there that you should definitely buy these organic, because the pesticides on the conventional ones are just way too bad. Okay. And so that's 12 foods. You're not even getting all 12 of those foods when you go to the grocery store. You're getting like two or three. It's not going to break your budget. So just start with something like that and then work your way up.
And then you practice in the Appleton area. People can travel to see you.
I can also, you can contact me about it if you're interested, but I also can see people virtually too. And I can explain more about that if somebody out there is interested in that. But yeah, I'm in the Appleton area. So close to, you know, Green Bay and Oshkosh and stuff, if you're in Wisconsin. My business name is Vitality Holistic Health. You can follow that on Facebook and on Instagram. My name is Dana Dilling. If you want to, you know, friend me personally, I tend to post or share sassier things on my personal account than what I do on my business account, if you're into that type of thing. So, either way.
Awesome. And I will link all of those. So thank you so much for your time and sharing your story, because I think it's very inspiring for people and lots of great tips.
It's been a journey. I'm glad to be able to talk about it.
And you're just getting started.
I know. I'm just getting started.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. Have a great
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please give Rise and Climb a 5-star review or share it with someone you think who would equally enjoy it. If you also feel so led, you can support this podcast with either a one-time donation or monthly subscription to help pay for sound and editing equipment that helps produce more kingdom-driven and relevant-to-the-times content. God bless.